Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 57 of Geek Grills. We're a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Grills podcast is solely supported by our patrons, and you can become a patron today at patreon.com/grills. I am the Jen, and I'm here with my co-host, as always, September, also known as 9 of 12.
Hello.
Hi. And today, we actually have a really awesome guest. So, she is the woman behind the podcast Diary of a Trans Woman and part of the Frog Pants and Diamond Club communities. We today have Abby West.
Hi.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So, what have you been up to this week? Amber, what has your week been like?
Well, for nerdy things, I have been rereading The Belgariad and baking bread every few days because Volgara makes me want to. And I got that white streak.
It's been several weeks of this. How much bread is in your house right now?
Oh, no, I have the recipe and make a loaf, and believe me, the family just chows it in a day. I mean,
we live in
the South, so good crusty bread is hard to come by. You just gotta make it your fucking self. So, yeah, that gets eaten fast. As a matter of fact, my youngest was so funny. He was like, can I have some bread now? And I take the mom tax. I take the nice end piece. When he went to get his first slice, he tried to take the other end. No. I did do that.
Did you heal the bread?
Yes.
That's never... Is that a South thing where it's the most popular part of the bread? Because that always used to be the part that got thrown away up here.
No, it's not that, but with homemade bread, it's different. It's not like buying a loaf and it's that nasty end that tastes bitter, right? A good crusty, crunchy, homemade bread, that is the best part.
I've never experienced such bread where the crust is good.
I mean,
it must be a Southern thing.
But I think my mom just sucked at making homemade bread. That's probably it.
But yeah, I've always thought it was weird. I moved south, and all the bread here, like you buy in the store, it's all soft. It's all like, even in the store, you get these rolls, and they're called a Kaiser, but they don't have any crust or crunch to them. And these people have one or two courses of bread with every meal, and all their bread is terrible. So, anyway, I've been making a lot of my own, and I got that white streak, and my hair started. It's going to take a couple more treatments to get to white. So right now I have a weird blonde streak. On the left side in front of my head. And I finally got our new recording stuff. So if people are hearing little bloops, it does look like our muting stuff might be in there, and I don't know if I can get it all out, but we'll see. Trying a new technique, not put up with that Zencaster nonsense anymore, and because that was getting bad. What else? I went to the gym. And I want to thank Sean for helping me last night with Audio Hijack Nightmares again. He was my savior. But I went to the gym, and even their mean, nasty, evil scale finally changed and showed some weight loss. So, that made me happy. It was good motivation to actually go ahead and work out. Because by the time I got there, I found out my earbuds were broken, and I almost left.
None of that sounds fun.
It's okay, man. I've been having fun. I've been catching all the legendaries of Pokemon, so there's that.
I haven't caught a single legendary, and I've never done any other raids. I've only had the two successful raids, so I'm hoping that I will get to do more of them.
Is Pokemon Go still
some big? People.
I stopped some playing people. About probably 9 months ago.
It's gotten a really big resurgence since the anniversary hit, and they released legendaries, and they changed the way gyms work. So people are actually getting together in big groups. Like, we've been getting groups of, 30 people sometimes, and we have to split into two because the raid has a max of 20 to catch legendaries. So it's been, very social and exciting and fun again.
Cool.
Yeah. So, Abby, what has your week been like? Any fun or exciting, geeky or fun things?
My week's been fun. worked all this week, which I mean that wasn't that fun, but last weekend I came out to Chicago and hung out with my co-host EJ. Crashed on our couch for a weekend and just kind of explored Chicago a little bit. I'm in Detroit right now. I live in Detroit, so I came out to Chicago, came back, worked for another work week, and then decided I actually heard a good friend of mine, Marie, who does the If You Want It nonprofit out of New York City, was visiting Chicago, and so I came out again for a second week in a row. And so I've just been hanging out and putzing around Chicago, going to different food places, and we did vintage shopping yesterday, so it's been a chill.
Chicago food is the best. I love Chicago. My dad lives out near Chicago, and I wish I could have stayed there, but I love Chicago as a city, but I don't do winters like that. That was horrible.
Yeah, it's, I mean, right now I like it, and I'm thinking like, well, what if I moved to Chicago? That could be cool. 'Cause I mean, Detroit's nice, but Detroit died and it's just starting to see its resurgence. And so
Oh
you don't have a ton of diversity yet in there, as far as, I mean, especially in as far as queer culture goes, which is important to me. And so I like Detroit. It's fun. I have a good job there, but I mean, I hopped on Tinder for like 5 seconds in Chicago, and it was immediately apparent, like, there's a lot of different people here.
yeah, and Chicago is one of my favorite cities. If I could have stayed there and handled the fact that, now, of course, I lived in the suburbs and had to drive, and so like my least favorite thing is letting your car de-ice so that you can drive to work every morning. That used to just kill me. But I love Chicago. It's such a good city. It's so fun. There's good music, there's good people, there's comedy. Roscoe's, I think, is the one in Chicago that all the bar that all the drag queens used to perform at. I used to love to go there. Super fun. Anyway, I love
I've
Chicago. Blah blah
never
blah.
been to Chicago, but I'm from Buffalo, so winter's fine. It's livable. I like it better than this heat down here. You walk out the door and can't breathe.
Yeah, it gets hot and humid in Chicago, but it's not. It's. I mean, it. You have to have air conditioning, but it's not the worst.
Yeah. Have you guys ever been to Detroit before?
I have been to Detroit. I've been to Detroit, and it was sad. I felt sad when I was
That
there
felt
because I
like
felt like everything was just like rolled up and like done.
Yeah, how many years ago was that?
It was probably 8 years ago, I think. I want to so want to
Yeah.
say.
That would have been, yeah. In the past few years or so, I mean, it's really kind of started to come back. It's started a huge resurgence, which is great. I mean, Quicken Loans, the mortgage company, moved their headquarters there and started buying up old buildings and remodeling them and turning them into, basically, I mean, they own a big chunk of the city now, and they've done a lot to revitalize it. And it's a pretty nice place now. The downtown area is definitely improving, and it's slowly starting to move out from there. So I'm real excited to see what happens in that city in over the next few years, especially.
Yeah, I've
Well, I'm
never been
really glad to
there,
hear that.
but I have read a lot about resurgence and stuff like urban gardening happening, people buying up those properties, and there
It
are times
reminds
when
me a little
gentrification
bit.
isn't bad, and Detroit is in desperate need of it to get stuff to draw in, business like it's starting to do.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's 'cause some things are coming back, but other things haven't come back at all. So I mean there are hardly any taxis downtown whatsoever. It's all Lyft and Uber. Those personal ride sharing apps have been able to thrive because when the city died, all the taxi companies went away. And so they haven't come back yet. And so all of these indie Uber and Lyft services are just going nuts in town right now. So it's interesting to see the way things are coming back and the order that they're coming back and how it impacts kind of the whole atmosphere of the town.
I think that's awesome. My gosh, I hope they. That's great to hear. So let's see. What have I been up to this? I finally went to go play. I hate calling it Warmahor.
terrible, but it's War Machine and Hordes. I finally went, and there was a faction release event. There's a new Hordes faction that released. And so last Sunday, I went to the release event, and I took my models, half of which are painted, half are not. And I hadn't played since probably 2008. And somebody sat was cool enough to set up a table and do a training game where it was super slow, explained every step of the process, which was great because I definitely am enjoying learning again. So I played, and that was fun. And now I'm heading over there to the game store on Thursday nights to continue to play. So I went there last Thursday too and played another match, and I'm trying to learn my army. My army's like kind of specific, and it's really the hard part about when you're doing, I don't even know what you call it, like model combat games. I don't know, model army games. The hard part is that you have to do things in a very specific order, and I get kind of stressed where I'm like, oh my God, it's my turn. I need to do 80,000 things, and I can't figure out what order to do them in. So I need to kind of just take a breath and know that I'm not going to know exactly how to do everything perfectly, especially probably for many months until I really get to know all of the units in my army and all the units I can add to my army. So it's been really fun. And I'm glad to not just be painting them. It's kind of fun to take them and be like, yay, other people can see my painting. And there's one dude whose paintwork is incredible. It's insane. I'm like, how do you even, like, he must use like the tiniest paintbrush on the planet. I don't know. But yeah, so that was my week. Lots of Warma Hordes, lots of school, lots of work. So that was my nerd escape this week. So that brings us to the Geek Grapevine.
Found you another spell, Dan.
I know. I know. Dough. Oh, God. What a terrible headline. All right. Okay. So a truck spills bread dough all over the highway. Why are they driving bread dough around? All right. A truck hauling dough.
It was being thrown away, I think.
Are you sure?
I think that's what the other story said, but I gave you this story because the other story had a stupid pop-up autoplay video.
Oh, good. Yeah, I hate
it. So you got the stupid title one instead that says, dough.
I mean, people drive dough around all the time. I used to work at, was it like raw bread dough?
Yeah, it's like just raw bread dough.
And because I know Domino's, they don't actually make their dough in store. They have it like delivered via truck.
Oh, that's true. Subway used to do that too when I worked at Subway.
Subway always froze their dough, though. I worked at Subway.
Yeah, the dough was frozen. That's true.
Yeah. Same with Jimmy John's.
Oh, yeah. This is, literally bread dough all over the place. Oh, that's fun. That one's really funny. Okay, so yes, this one was a truck hauling dough on Interstate 5 had to pull off the shoulder after the heat of the day caused the dough being transported in the truck to rise and spill out of the truck onto the highway. That's hilarious.
So it basically exploded, like it oozed out of the truck.
Yes. Oh, God. People were talking about it as a hashtag the Great Dough Rising. That's really funny. That's a
selfie with the cops on the page.
Yeah, it's super cute. Look at that. Super cute jumper. Like, that's just like, they're like super happy to be like troopers. That's kind of fun. All right, that's a good story, Amber. I like it.
Well, and this one didn't smell bad for a change, right? These spills, when we covered chicken shit and eels in the last couple weeks. Ew.
Oh, yeah. And chicken shit, eels, and then wasn't there like chicken parts before that? Oh, God. It's been a rough few weeks.
Yeah, so gross. So Apple plans to release an Apple Watch with built-in LTE this year, according to Bloomberg. So for those of you who don't know and don't have one, your watch is tethered to your phone. So it has very little functionality. It's basically just a watch, unless you have it attached to your phone, and your phone is actually running all the apps, and the watch just kind of lets you access them. But once you get a little modem in the phone, it'll have a whole lot more functionality. Now, whether the design is going to change is up in the air, being the first and second
Battery
generation
life.
look pretty much exactly the same. Yeah, I don't know what's going to go on with the battery life. I mean, I don't use my Apple Watch for Pokemon Go because it's too much of a battery suck. I mean, so I don't know how modem, I'm concerned a modem would affect that even more strongly than Bluetooth. But we
Can
shall
see.
see. The biggest part, the opinion I'm reading is that the biggest deal is that it's the fight between Intel and Qualcomm. There's been a real, Qualcomm and Apple have been really contentious lately, and it being that they're going to use an LTE modem, it looks like some leaning in the way things are going to be developed in the future between these companies.
Well, we
Well,
all
we
know
all.
now I don't use Apple, so.
I mean, do other Android-based smartwatches utilize an LTE connection at all? And what is the difference as far as performance goes between those two models? And
You
is
know
this
what? I don't know. I think the only decent Android would be the Samsung. There's the Samsung, what is it, the Watch Gear or whatever. That one I think might have some standalone functionality. That's a really good question. I would have to read. I'm pretty sure it does have standalone connectivity. Yes, it does. It does, in fact. Samsung Gear S3, 4G LTE standalone connectivity available on the Gear S3 4G LTE models. That's probably part of the reason why people bitch about their battery life not being as good as the Apple Watch.
Well, I mean, I imagine, I don't know. I feel like this is just going to be a niche thing. It's not something that is ever going to catch on as being mainstream. I mean, smartwatches themselves have become bigger than a niche thing for a lot of people. But as far as a standalone, yeah, I'm going to leave my phone at home and just bring my watch out with me because I can do that. Not many people are going to be doing that, I don't think. And so I'm not 100% sure. I mean, why would you be putting an LTE connection into a phone, into a watch if you didn't bring your phone along with you? I don't know.
Well, I think there are people who don't. I know some people who don't necessarily have smartphones, but they are the kind of people that use Fitbit.
Oh,
This
that's
might be a
true.
transition
I
for
do use
them
the
to
bit.
adding, apps there. Kind of the same way, people went from iPods to iPhones and the change in functionality. Maybe that's the gateway they're looking
For.
to. And
True.
it
Might,
might,
if
if
it.
it doesn't have to be connected to my phone all the time, the Bluetooth isn't draining both batteries at the same time.
If I can
I can
disconnect them.
disconnect them and still have my watch doing its thing.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. I don't know. I think back, I mean, there are so many Apple products that have just become kind of niche, like the iPod Nano or the iPod Shuffle or those kind of things. The smaller it gets, there's a limit as you can get something super, super small, but not everyone is going to love it. And so there's that common medium ground where it's going to catch on and become a very mainstream and widely accepted device. And I don't know. I'll have to wait
I'm
and see.
with you. I'm with you. I thought nano right away when I thought about that. When I was like, oh, LTE, great. So it's going to be like having a nano strapped to your wrist. And I had a nano and it was nice for listening to music or going to the gym or whatever. But all the other features in it drove me fucking batty. And it was like, I don't need any of it. And it was just like, why did I spend this much money for a thing that really doesn't do anything that special? But at the same time, I mean, we still have all the things where people want to make Google Glass work. So we want to have some kind of a device that we don't have to pull out and look at, but that just exists on our body that we can use to control or engage in technology. So I guess that's the big thing, is getting to whatever will do that the best way possible.
I say they bring the iPod Mini back.
I liked the iPod. I'm with you.
I've been looking at tutorials on how to pop out like the 2 or 4 gig memory hard drive in there and replacing it with a 64 gig memory. And so you have a basic you can have a 100 gigabyte iPod Mini. And so
Which would be
I've
plenty, because the
I know.
Nano doesn't have quite enough. Like, I couldn't even put enough podcasts on it half the time. It used to drive me crazy.
True. And it's just kind of like, I don't know, maybe it's the hipster in me that I try and subdue all the time. But it would be awesome to just walk around, whip out an iPod mini and just be like, yeah, I'm using it. It still works.
Oh, it's so delightful.
Get you a Walkman.
Yeah, get you a Sony Walkman, you said. All right. All right.
That's too far back. I try and forget that part of my life.
I'm with you on that for sure. Right, Sony Discman has like memories. So Six Flags is building a Wonder Woman roller coaster, and I am super stoked about this because one, I think roller coasters are really cool. Two, I can think of the Batman, the Superman, Top Gun, and all these like super hardcore male roller coasters. And like I think about my mom. Like my mom loves roller coasters. Like she has an unhealthy appreciation for them. Like she used to drag me out to like amusement parks, and when I was barely tall enough to be on a coaster, she would like strap me in and be like, "Oh no, it's fine. It's not going to do anything that crazy," while I'm like screaming and dying. Like my mom loves roller coasters, so I think it's cool that we're gonna have a Wonder Woman coaster. I think that's awesome. So it's gonna be in San Antonio, which I'm a little bummed. I wish it was like in Magic Mountain or Chicago or San Jose or. But that's cool. It's cool.
Field trip.
Yeah, it's like a field trip for sure.
Oh yeah, this I'm kind of excited for this too. It's very interesting to see. I mean, Wonder Woman coming into being. I mean, Wonder Woman broke all expectations as far as DC films go. I mean, I haven't seen a DC film get as overwhelmingly positive ratings as Wonder Woman has, and so that's real exciting to see a female-led action movie like this being so widely accepted. And I think it's a big step. It's definitely a. I believe it's our generation's Rosie Riveter, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a thing. And like my mom really like, well, back, she grew up on like on old Batman, and I use her as an example, but she like thinks about, I made her go see it. So when I went to go visit her, I drug her and my brothers to go see it. And she was like, really? It's not going to be good, blah, 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 blah. And then she saw it and she was like, that was actually a really good movie. I really enjoyed that. And it was just nice to see that they did. It was unexpected. People didn't expect to enjoy it as much as they did. I mean, is it the most amazing film that was ever created? Of course not. But as far as comic book movies go, it nailed the character. It nailed the origin story. And it was a super amazing, powerful, strong, beautiful woman being a super amazing, strong, powerful, beautiful woman. And that was awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I have not seen it yet. But I'm waiting for it to come out so I can watch it. I don't go out to watch a ton of movies, so I'm waiting for it to come out to watch it. But I'm super excited to see it, and especially for, I mean, I am not a DC fangirl by any means, but after seeing just mixed review after mixed review after every single DC movie coming out, it's really kind of refreshing that this was the one that they did well on. And I'm interested to see if people are going to be following suit, if there are going to be more prominent women featured in big blockbuster films, or if, I mean, hopefully this will extend beyond just a feminist viewpoint and reach other minority groups as well.
I am super hopeful that we'll get a Marvel standalone female film now, because for a long time, I didn't think it could happen. And the only one that was possible was maybe doing a Black Widow movie. But honestly, my biggest problem is that it's an over-sexualized character, and that kind of sucks. So, there are definitely characters I would like to see more get a standalone film.
I would like to see a really well done Storm origin story.
Oh, totally. She's amazing.
It's an amazing story.
She's one of my favorites. Sure.
I would love to see She-Hulk appear in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Just
yes.
And you two have seen me both at Nerdtacular. Like I am that is my favorite superhero of all time is Jennifer Walters and She-Hulk. Her story is just, it really speaks to me. And so I've been waiting so long, and I just keep crossing my fingers that somebody named Jen Walters will show up in one of the Netflix series or something like that, or like a brief mention in the background of something, but I don't know if it's going to happen. because
well, they have the Infinity Wars films. They have like something stupid, like 118 characters or something. So I mean, at some point, she's got to show up. I mean, I agree with you. She's an important. I don't know. I think she's great. She's not my favorite, but I definitely respect and appreciate that character. I am really excited because in Thor Ragnarok, there's a possibility that we're going to get some glimpses of Angela, which that would be incredible for me. I would love to see her be a more prominent character out there, especially because I love Natalie Portman, but she's kind of like playing this like kind of wimpy character. I mean, she's a scientist, but other than that, she's kind of wimpy. So other than Lady Sif, there's not really a lot of like strong women in Thor so far. So I'm hoping that Ragnarok's going to be a little bit better.
I'm like trying to remember desperately if it was Lindsay who we had on for our Wonder Woman episode or if it was my friend Susan that has cosplayed She-Hulk.
Oh.
Because I want to like get a picture and send it to Abby.
It might have been Silver.
Well, yeah, because I just finished doing did a full-on like boudoir pinup model photo shoot at a place while cosplaying as She-Hulk, which was just amazing. I love doing that.
I saw that. It was awesome. I saw on your Facebook page picture.
So I'm so excited that we have Abby Westman, and here's why. So just a little over a year ago, when Ember and Lanescence and I started Geek Grills, we made a list of people that we would want to have on as a guest. And that first list had maybe 5, 6, 7 names on it. And Abby was one of them. And it has been way too long for us to finally make that happen. And we wanted to have her on because she is just doing a lot of great work. I love your podcast. I love that how open it is. I have to be honest, I haven't been caught up the last couple months. I've just been so busy, but at least everything I've listened to before, it's just so open. And that is something that I think we need more and more and more of in this day. So that's one of my favorite things about it. But so that's the main, we really wanted to have you on and I'm glad we finally get to do that.
Definitely. Yeah. Thank you for having me on. This has been great. I enjoy talking with people in the community and networking. It's always fun to meet new people and to figure out what their podcast is like and what they're doing with things and
their little corner. Yeah. So what was it?
I think Abby, you're the first podcaster we've had on that I met in person first.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, it's not super common in the internet world.
Now, what was it that made you start your podcast? What made you want to kick it off?
Well, I've always loved the idea of keeping a journal and kind of chronicling my life and going through and figuring out and being able to look back and reflect on what my life used to be. But I was always terrible at writing things down and actually keeping one of those. And so I figured, it's 2015, I can go ahead and just record myself doing it. Especially being out as a transgender woman at the time, being newly out and newly started down that road, I felt like I had a somewhat okay community, but it wasn't as good as I would have liked it to be. And there just weren't a ton of ways to connect with people. And one of the biggest things about growing up, I didn't realize that being transgender was a thing until I was 20, 21, 22 years old. And so the fact that, and I had been struggling with trying to figure out why things felt so off in my life for years. And I think definitely one of the reasons why it took me so long is that there just wasn't a community of people. There weren't other voices out there being able to say like, no, yeah, this is an okay thing. And we're here to support you in this. And so I wanted to start a podcast that kind of brought people like that together, people who lived in areas who didn't necessarily have the most supportive community around them to be able to hear voices saying that, no, everything is okay. I also wanted to educate cis people about kind of issues and helping them answer questions that they might have and that kind of thing. But the main thing was forming a community and a support network for people. And one of the things that it's definitely been the most rewarding doing the show is that we have if you help out in the Patreon, you get into a Slack channel that the show has set up, and just the amount of people in there who are amazing contributors to just all the conversations. We talk about just so many random things in there, and it's great. But it gives people hope. It gives people reasons to continue moving down this path of trying to discover themselves. 42% of transgender women will attempt to commit suicide at some point in their life, and I believe that number is 50 something for transgender men. Attempted suicides are incredibly common in our community, and being able to say, hey, no, this is a place where you can be accepted and people aren't going to ridicule you for who you are, I think that's gone a long way. It's gone a long way for me, and I think it's gone a long way for a lot of other people's to provide that support. And so that's kind of what the show is has been about, and we're looking for new ways to kind of increase our reach and trying to help out more people. We have I brought in an awesome co-host, EJ, who has been amazing. She is very opinionated, very sarcastic, and I think brings a lot to the show. And it's been a fun ride, and I've really enjoyed it.
I really appreciate you providing that resource too. I have been meeting a lot of younger transgender folks lately, and it gives me another resource to give them besides just introducing them to each other.
Yeah.
Here's somewhere safe to go and feel and know there's community.
Yeah, and it's weird, and it's we're actually making differences, and it's a weird experience. It's a weird feeling to have to realize that like people out there are benefiting from you. I was just talking with Marie, who does a nonprofit out of New York called If You Want It, and they print out jerseys and shirts that say "Gender is over if you want it." But they're good friends of mine, and they appeared on the show, and we're chatting about a bunch of stuff, and they mentioned that they wanted to do something educational in New York City area. And going back and walking around, they went to a library, and a random librarian came up and said, "Hey, I heard you on a podcast. You want a space to do your educational stuff? How about you use this library here?" And so people are connecting and growing, and we're doing good in the world, and I'm really enjoying that.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought up, you know, cause it's scary. People are in this world that are amazing people, and then there are just like people that suck, and it makes me sad. I wish I had a better way to put that. And it scares me sometimes what friends of mine, people I care about, have been through. I mean, I went to high school with somebody who, he's just more feminine. He's gay, but he's not a chick. He just has like feminine features. He has very long dancerly legs, and like just always just comes off a little bit more feminine. And he's living in Oakland and got the shit beat out of him so bad he needed to have like teeth replaced and whatnot. And like, it's just because he was more feminine looking. Like, why? Like, how is that a thing that you feel you need to do? Like, it just makes no sense to me.
And it's something that happens far, far too often. There was just a case where a former Marine was sentenced to 30 years in prison for basically hooking up with a trans woman and then basically having boner remorse. And he stabbed her 119 times and killed her. And he used the trans panic defense. And that's something that EJ and I have really been kind of turning our efforts towards. In 48 states, you can find out that somebody is queer or trans or whatever, and you can and murder them, and then in court you can say, "Oh, the shock that came to me when I discovered this was so strong that I was overcome with emotions and I just lashed out." And now people aren't getting away with it. I mean, this guy argued that finding out that his partner was trans enraged him to the point where he stabbed her 119 times, but he's not getting away with it. But 30 years, anybody else does that to any other cisgender person, and you're getting put away for life. That's the 30 years is laughable to that. And it's happening all the time. I have a friend who in Toledo a few years ago was basically beat to it within an inch of her life on a 2 p.m. on a busy downtown street. And I think they only caught one of the guys, and that took forever. And this is a thing that's happening all the time. And so we are working kind of hard to kind of draw attention to it because it's kind of bullshit.
Yeah, it really is though. I really, it is bullshit. It literally enrages me. So like, I feel like it's so crazy. It's just absolutely crazy to me. I have to ask though, like obviously with the podcast, you probably get some feedback of different kinds. And I know you've gotten a lot of positive feedback and I don't mean to bring Debbie Downer by asking this, but I'm just curious, like, how do you process and handle like the hateful messages or the feedback if you get it?
I mean, that is something that I've just recently had started to come into. I mean, for almost 2 years, I was doing this show alone and it was just kind of hopping onto a microphone and talking for as long as I could by myself. And I wound up bringing EJ on, which was great because, I mean, she is a very opinionated trans woman and we have grown really big in social media. And unfortunately, a side effect of that is you reach a lot more people. You also reach a lot more bad people. And so I've had people commenting on posts and just saying some real shitty things. I actually went through a bad breakup a few weeks ago, and my exes actually sent their friends into my live chat to kind of drag me through the mud.
Not nice.
No, not nice at all. Not nice at all. And especially, I mean, we were talking about the issue, but it was very private. Like nobody knew who it was. Nobody knew anything. No personal details were given out, but yeah. So,
and, I mean, grow up, right?
But I don't know. You deal with it a lot, and I mean, the best thing to do is just ignore it. But it still gets to you. It gets under your skin a lot. And fortunately I have a group of people who are very supportive, and I can look at the show and see that things are coming from it. That, oh, this post that we made a post about the trans panic law and a map that showed that like 48 states, you can legally argue this in court. And if you can convince a jury, you can get off by it or get a lower sentence because of it. And so that post that we made reached about 200,000 people. And so basically just looking at the good that the show does, looking at the good that comes of your efforts goes a long ways towards kind of overcoming the negativity that is spread by these people. I just had a cat pop into my lap. I'm sorry. I got distracted.
Oh, that's
okay.
Random cat.
Well, it's been such a night. We've had an uptick here in anti-trans violence because, I mean, I'm in North Carolina, right? So these people are coming out of the woodwork that are empowered by the bullshit here that the legislature's been trying to pull over and over again. And it's horrifying. So, I mean, I'm with you and I'm doing whatever I can, you know, politically to try and put a stop to that shit and raise the lawyers.
Now, we were actually talking about this on the last episode, like, as soon as the Obama administration ended, kind of the whole HB2 North Carolina thing kind of fell off the radar. And what's the status of that? I mean, I know North Carolina has a new governor now. You have a Democratic governor, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But the legislature flipped over to like a supermajority of GOP. So it's been really hard to tamp things down or get anything done. And it's the first time in like 100 years we've had a Republican legislature.
Okay. Now, is the HB2 law? I know that the case was dropped by the United States court. Unfortunately, is it still being enacted, or do you see a lot of people facing discrimination in your state specifically?
Well, we do, because what happened was HB 2 was overturned. However, that just put us back to the previous state where there wasn't any protection.
Yeah.
There were a few, and there were some municipalities that had passed their own, and the new version of hate Bill 2 ended up kind of undoing those local ordinances as well, and to enact any local ones for protection, you need to have like a waiting period and shit where the legislature gets to review it, which is a huge power overreach. And we just have to get something done statewide to, or federally, or, you know, whatever, to get these protections in place, get trans folks in the, you know, EEOC list, for God's sake.
So we're definitely, like, it's definitely back to square one. Because I know Charlotte had enacted their own protections, and that's what initially sparked the whole statewide legislature moving to enact HB2. But I guess HB2 came into play enough to cancel out everybody else's local decisions on it, and then HB2 went away. So everyone's just back to square one, be able to do what they want.
Yeah, and a lot of the approach by activists now, like my friend Janice Covington is very active in the community, and we started approaching it. The pressure on the governor, and the governor has been using to stop discrimination and get businesses to come back, is then just approaching individual businesses. And eventually, hopefully, they'll turn the tide and these conservatives will realize this is the right thing to do. Like the Carolina Panthers and NASCAR and the big banks and all the stadiums have specific policies allowing people to use the restroom of their designated gender. So,
yeah, and hopefully, we've also kind of spitballed about this before. I mean, there are definitely companies out there who work to be an ally to the queer community. There are also companies out there who see it as, and I, this is going to sound kind of more rough than I mean it to, but trendy. And this is going to be a thing where if we come out on the side of these people, then we're going to garner more business from them. And so definitely I think Apple with Tim Cook being an out gay man works to be an ally to the queer community. However, I am not 100% sure, but other companies that come out and say, no, yeah, we're definitely for this. It's because that's a hot button issue. And now that it's not necessarily something on a lot of people's minds, it's something that isn't really paid attention to by these corporations. And so I'm not 100% sure if these will continue being a thing. And does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that point about like the trendiness of it is, yeah, it's it's a thing. Like I worked for a mortgage company and I had a coworker who was kind of closed-minded, and he was just like, I'm not going to do a loan for these rug munchers, because they were lesbians and they were married and like they were buying a house. Like, I was like, well, I will. So I did their loan, and then I did the loan for everybody in their community and their little circle of friends. And then their little circle of friends connected me to another circle of friends. And then before you know it, it was like, I was basically, the loan officer for an entire like expanded various formed community of LGBT, etc. It was really silly, but like, I didn't care. I just treated them all like my clients. But it was funny because at one point my boss got to a point where he's like, we really got to tap into this. Like, we need to be able to, like, he's like, yeah, this is smart. I didn't think about it. And I'm like, oh God, we're not going to sit here and like, no, I'm not going to sit here and specifically like target them like that, like with marketing or with like an advertising approach. It just happens to be that I don't give a shit what their like family makeup is. I'm just doing my job.
And to a certain extent, word of mouth is good. That's not necessarily.
But there's also, sorry, I just want to say there's also another really good thing that folks can do. And like, I can use my ACIS privilege and I go to a restaurant and say, what's your policy on restrooms and, you know, transgender folks? And if they say, you know, bullshit, HB2 bullshit, oh, whatever's on your birth certificate, or you have to do, you know, whatever, I'll leave. And we network, like in Charlotte, Janice has a list, and we keep a list, and we make sure everybody knows what everyone's policy is. So allies, too, can put pressure on those businesses to open their damn minds, stop being idiots.
Good, yeah. And I was saying, like, businesses that come out and say, hey, we should tap into this, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Corporations that come out and say, hey, no, like, screw you, North Carolina, while it's trendy or whatever. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It still gets a message out there. It's more temporary than anything, but it's still, I mean, yeah, there are definitely people out there who cannot get loans because they are a queer couple. And it's unfortunate that you still see that today. But I mean, yeah, if a business wants to come out and be like, hey, you know what? We are actually going to reach out and make sure that we are a company that caters to the interests of queer individuals out there. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's something that's definitely needed. And if somebody gets to profit off of that, I mean, and there's an untapped market out there for people who want to support these communities. And if you find a way to support that and profit off it, that's fine. Just treat us like anybody else though.
And that was the part for me that I wasn't comfortable with, is it wasn't a respectful approach. And it wasn't a, oh, well, welcoming, open. And it was definitely like, a, oh, well, if you want to keep booking loans for lesbians, let's target them. But like, but then it wasn't quite the same way when it was male same-sex couples, because that's not hot. Like two chicks that you don't know what they look like on the phone when you're doing business with them, that's hot. And among the frat bro douchebags that I worked for and worked with, it wasn't a positive thing, but I do agree. And when I moved to another mortgage company, we were looking for events to have a booth at. And one of the events that I did was Gay Pride in Sacramento, because I was like, oh my God, there's a ton of people here that don't have, you know, unless they know a loan officer, you know, they don't have that access. So I, you know, specifically set up a booth there, and you know, the company I worked for was really cool about it. They were supportive, they had no issues, they let me, you know, make the flyers and you know, do everything classy and normal as we would. But the great thing was, is we got to do it in a space like that, because people don't realize that it's like, there's like things that seem really simple that are different when really anywhere, you know, whether you're gay, straight, you know, or transgender, or there's just so many different things that can affect that. And like the fact that it's different to calculate income when you have two dudes who aren't married on a loan, like that's different. It's different. And they need somebody that's going to be sensitive to that.
Yeah. I actually, ironically, I work at a mortgage company as well. And I don't know, I've kind of, and serving clients who are queer is one thing. I mean, having queer people out in the workforce is another thing. And so I don't get a ton of that. There's been a few kind of ignorant, like you don't realize how disgusting and invasive you're being, but there's not been anybody who has called names or disrespected me in any way actively, which is nice. And that's kind of just because I put out there like, hey, don't fuck with me. I'll kick your ass. Don't fuck with me. And doing that while also being personable and out there and being just kind of like, I don't hide away and I'm not shy about anything. So I think that's gone a long ways too. So fortunately, that's the situation that I'm in. It's a big company and I don't have experience in other aspects of it, but I don't know.
It's nice that you're working in an environment where you have that comfort level. I know that that's a real area of concern, and I'm going to go back and talk about a show that was kind of good, but kind of stupid and kind of terrible, but it's the L Word. And, you know, there's a character on there who he works for a company, but as a trans man doesn't tell his boss, and there's this whole thing, and there's all this stuff about like, are you actually a man and not? And it's just a very strange, interesting thing. And that was my first, growing up in the middle of nowhere, that was my first exposure outside of my one friend. And I was like, wow, what a crazy concept. Like how crazy to like be working and have people just not be okay with who you are as a person so innately. And that just terrifies me. I couldn't imagine having to live like that. And I'm glad that at least for where you work right now, you've had enough, you have an environment where you don't have to feel that every moment of the day, because that's really scary. I couldn't imagine living like that. And that's, it's awful.
Yeah. And I think part of it is I'm just very fortunate to be on a specific team that is very just kind of chill about it. Nobody is super accepting and goes out of their way to make accommodations for me, which I don't want anyways. I just want to be treated like any other person. And fortunately I have a team of about 20 people that I work with a leader who used to work for the name is escaping my head. Equality.
The human rights.
I don't know why that was so hard to remember for a second there. But he has worked for them volunteering in sales department there, and he's done really good jobs there. So he's very much accepting, and I'm able to talk with him about stuff, and I'm able to kind of chat with him about different issues, and he's very receptive to that. And I think that that attitude that he has of just like, okay, this is just a part of a person. It doesn't define them, but it's a characteristic, and we can talk about that, and I can be cool about that. That attitude kind of trickles down to the rest of the team, which I feel very fortunate to be a part of.
Yeah, that's definitely, I'm glad to hear that. I have had a lot of friends of mine transition, and it's been a really challenging thing, and it's been hard for them because, you know, they're doing it within the world of Facebook where, you know, so and so, you know, Abby or not Abby, Allie used to be Alden. And now when that change happens on Facebook, sorry, you guys both have 4-letter A's. but you know, that was having it be so public with social media and then having those old pictures up there and then like the year ago memories where she hadn't transitioned yet, and so it's just there's so much, it's so much different, it's so much more complicated, and it's that's why it's just good to have a good support system, to have good resources, to have things that you can listen to, watch and ingest, you know, and understand. Whether you're an ally or you're you are transgender, you need to know that you're not alone. You need to know that there's others that are going through what you're going through. That's why I think your podcast has been it's a really incredible project. And, you know, what did you, doing your podcast, what has been the surprise for you? Like, what has surprised you as far as doing the podcast? Is there something you've learned that surprised you or anything that just you didn't expect when you started this?
One of the most surprising things that has happened to me over the course of recording is just the community that's formed from it. And in looking at my Squarespace statistics and RSS subscribers and my numbers and everything, I cannot believe that those are anywhere near correct, because I'm just from people that I've heard about. I mean, heard about somebody who was in our Slack channel, a patron who went to a support group in Canada and happened to be in the same support group as somebody else who was also a patron to the show. And the fact that I can have a guest on and have them talk about like, oh, I would love to have a space in New York City to do an educational event for queer and gender nonconforming individuals. And then a few days later, bump into somebody who works at a space there and just be like, hey, I heard you on this podcast, come use my space. I mean, I'm hearing stories like that a lot, and it's the fact that most trans people that I bump into have been like, oh yeah, I've heard of that. It's very weird how widespread it gets and how needed it was needed. Yeah, that's a phrase.
No,
it was needed in this community to the point where it has become so big that it's become bigger than I ever would have imagined. And I'm not actually sure what the size of it is right now, but it's definitely doing things that I never thought it was going to do. And it's super exciting to watch it grow.
Well, I think podcasting is very niche. So it was a perfect venue for the kind of service and the voice you're providing. I mean, it's a place that you go look for things that interest you, right? And it's on the internet. So, I mean, it was just, you had great timing and you've got a great thing going, and I expect people will be copying you, but
yeah, definitely. And I encourage people to copy. If they can come on and do something that works for them, something that I can't provide, I think that's great. I would love to see that. I always, I've for years, ever since probably 2010, 2009, when I discovered Frog Pants Network, I've toyed with the idea of doing my own podcast, but I could never find anything that really fit. Like, there's a ton of World of Warcraft podcasts out there. There's a ton of app review podcasts out there. There's a ton of everything out there that you can look at. And then I came out as trans and realized, oh, this is a thing that I can look into. What other queer podcasts are there out there? And there's a lot of shows out there for queer or gay individuals. Bearded Fruit is a great one. The Diglorians is a couple that host those. And I enjoy.
I'm trying to remember. There was one I really liked to listen to, and now it's like escaping me.
I don't know. It was a lesbian cast.
It was fun.
I don't know, but there were one or two trans related podcasts that hadn't been updated in months or sometimes years, and they just weren't that great quality. And so now, I found that niche and I got into it, and I've been able to meet and network with a bunch of awesome people, and I'm excited to see what comes of it, because hopefully I'm providing something that isn't necessarily common for a lot of trans people looking for podcasts. But I don't know, I would like to see it grow, and I would like to see more people doing this.
I love it.
I really appreciate, really really appreciate, like I said, you are a resource.
Yes.
That I can point people to, that I needed to.
I have a lot of friends that they refer to themselves as rural queers, because we grew up in the middle of nowhere in Northern California, where nobody understood like who or what we were. Like, I didn't come out until my like senior year of high school, but half my friends were like, I can't hug you now because I think you'll just want to grope me. And I'm like, yeah, that's totally the case. You're right. Right. I just want to grope you. Like, gross. It's just gross. It's not not good.
I am incredibly sex positive, but no, I want to fuck everybody.
Well, it was like when I came out, and you know, and they were like, well, when did you realize, or like, when did you turn like gay? And it was like, okay, like, I didn't wake up one day and was like, boy, I like boys and girls. Huh.
I had a drunk night and I caught the gay.
But yeah, so it's like having those resources, like podcasts like that, it's such a great way, because you can reach people that don't have access elsewhere. And the internet has been great for that too, just in general, because before, you know, I spent a lot of my time in Yahoo chat rooms, and that was how I started dealt with my issues around being bisexual and I liking women as well as men. And that was like really confusing to me and to people and to everyone. And to my mother, which didn't happen until much later, which was weird. She came out to me, like she told me that I had come out to her, but I never did, which was weird. It was a very weird situation, but having those resources, like you said, to send people to is really just a great thing, because again, it's all about, to me, it's all about and just knowing you're not alone in the world.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You got muted for a second.
I know. It's like, no, you shall not talk now.
So, can I hit on a few lighter things?
Yes.
Before we...
Yes.
We're going to get to that and make it a downer experience. Yeah, go.
I just want to round out this marinade we're making for you. I don't know if you realize, but like, looks like we got the rub done. We'll get some marinade going because we are going to grill you. But your Twitter banner is adorable. Did you draw that? Or did an artist use it?
That was Zilla, a friend of EJ's, who she wound up commissioning that. And we just got it yesterday. And so it just went up on the feed, and I love it. So Zilla did that. I can't remember what her handle is, but friend of EJ's, but does amazing work. And so, yeah, I'm very happy with how that turned out.
Well, you'll have to send me that too, so I can follow Zilla too. And I saw on your website that you like to build furniture, and I'm really interested in that. My husband, we have a woodworking shop, and my husband has built me like giant bookshelves, and we built our entertainment center, which is kind of like baseball diamond shape so it can fit in the corner because it didn't want to put the TV in front of the fireplace or the window. And that's a really good solution creation, when you can just make your own furniture. And we have this window seat because we had little kids and I needed
Oh,
to
we
lock
want
oh, you're a
the
robot.
DVDs.
You're a robot.
You're a robot.
I'm a robot.
You weren't. You're not a robot now. You were a robot for a moment. So something about the window, and then you became a robot.
Okay. Well, yeah, and we built a window seat that was locking drawers because the children were scratching all the DVDs. So, but he inherited a lathe, and I'm terrified of it, but I really want to try it. And so I'm curious what kind of furniture you build.
I've never used a lathe before, but I would love to use a lathe. My roommate needed a bed frame because she was sleeping on a mattress on the ground, and so I found some blueprints and did that. And I just with a miter saw and a drill, basically, and some wood glue. Anytime when I can go outside, plug my headphones in, and just kind of disappear for a few hours and work with my hands and actually have something to show for it afterwards, I find that a very rewarding experience. And so I'm looking right now at designs for bookshelves for my room, and I'm looking at that kind of stuff. And so it's not anything too intricate and fancy. Definitely more functional than decorative. So
That's awesome.
yeah,
Yeah, it's cool. Something I really like.
it's been a fun project to have, fun hobby to have.
And how long ago did EJ join you? Because I missed the.
Miss that.
It
I
was
didn't
about
start listening to you from the beginning, so.
a month or so ago. I think Big Brassy Lady was the episode that we did with her first. So yeah, she's been great.
That's awesome. Well, it has been wonderful chatting. And I have to say, to our listeners, if you'd like to chime in, you can always email us at geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577. And just like Ember said, I am very glad that you feel that you've had a good talk. We've had some time to marinate you. Again, rub is done, marination complete. It is now time for you to be grilled, so I hope you're prepared.
I just got that. I've been sitting I've been sitting here thinking like the rubbing, marinating, that caused weird
This
pictures in my head, feelings I didn't expect to have during this podcast, but I get it now. I get it.
So I'm going to give you a series of rapid fire questions.
Wait,
First
what?
thing that comes to your head, and you're about to get grilled.
How did I not? You never told me this was gonna happen.
No, I know this is secret. This is the this is the this is where we this is the whole plan. The ploy is to get you like lulled in.
Oh, okay.
If you were a listener, you'd know.
Oh no. So we're gonna start really easy. Again, first thing that comes to your mind, what is your favorite color?
Purple.
What did you want to be when you grew up when you were a kid?
Jobless. I don't know. I remember specifically having that conversation with my dad, like, when I grow up, I want to be jobless. And I thought I was such a smart ass for coming up with that idea. Like, you know what? I'm just gonna get paid for not working.
That's totally fine. If you could choose to stay a certain age forever, what age would it be?
Geez, you know, let's wait until hormones have more an effect on my body, and I'll just choose whatever I find myself in my prime.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Probably
Okay.
something in the future.
What is the first thing you remember buying with your own money?
I think it was a PS1 at a garage sale, or maybe like an original Game Boy at a garage sale, because that's all I did growing up was garage sailing with my mom.
That's adorable. And
You don't know my mom.
if you were reincarnated as an animal, what would it be?
Moose popped into my head, but that makes no sense. I don't know why.
I feel like it kind of does, though.
What?
No, I don't know.
Always like the idea of a deer because, I mean, you take away a deer's horns and it's a very androgynous animal.
Oh, see, there you go. Now, what's your right now?
Oh. Peanut Butter Jelly by Galantis, or Hideaway by Kyaiza, or anything by Against Me.
Nice. Okay. And if you were immortal for a day, what would you do?
Oh, man. First thing that popped in my head was just lots of sex, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
I mean, that's not necessarily a life-threatening activity.
Depends on how you're doing it.
It's like you don't wake up in the morning. It's like, I'm immortal. Hey, I can have sex with everybody. This is a thing that can reasonably happen. That can happen. I have no clue. I don't know.
That's okay. That's okay.
I drive a bunch.
Oh, that's fine. You could go crazy too. You could drive like super fast and not have to care. So that'd be kind of cool.
Would I still feel pain?
I don't know. In this experiment, no pain.
Okay. If I crash my car, would my car come back at the end of the day?
That's a good question. See, I don't know.
See, there's more consequences to dangerous activities than just a loss of life. If I broke bones, would I have to wake up the next day being like, well, shit, I didn't die, but okay.
Oh, this is such a, see, the grilling segment, part of the reason that, and by the way, congratulations, you've now successfully been grilled.
Okay, cool.
My favorite thing about it is get to see inside in just kind of an interesting way. It's just interesting to the answers that we get.
Okay, well, hopefully I lived up to expectations.
Yes. So I have to just say, again, thank you so much for coming on. And, you know, girls, what are you all anticipating right now? Ember, what's coming up for you?
Moltres comes out on Monday, so I hope to get Moltres. I am not going to spend any more damn money on that game, which means I'll only have one raid pass a day, so it'll be one try a day to try and get that last legendary bird. And yeah, so
I know. You know,
it's dorky, but it's fun. I've got my team Mystic people and other team people, and we all run around town in groups on the internet like a bunch of dorks, and it's real easy for them to find me with my geek mom tag and everything.
And what else? Oh,
back into
fun stuff. And Abby, what's on deck for you? What fun things?
Oh, I get to go back and go to work. I really don't have a lot planned. I did 2 weekends in a row in Chicago, and so I'm gonna hold back on that for a while because I spend way too much money when I'm out here. We're not sure exactly when, but EJ and I might be going out to Los Angeles for a modeling thing that we applied for. I might be going to New York to help out with that educational event that I was talking about earlier. Against Me concert on October 1st. So other than that, I'm not really doing that much.
Stuff, and more stuff.
That sounds like a lot.
Oh, wait, no, my birthday's at the end of the month. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Hooray!
Kind of.
I like birthdays because I'm super weird about it. I love birthdays. I think that they are everybody's holiday. Everybody has a special holiday and it's their birthday and I love them. That is all.
Hey, mine's coming up too. I bet you can guess when.
Hey, is it in September though?
Wait, September 12th.
It's actually exactly a month from now. It's the 6th.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, coming up soon. So,
holy shit, I'm old.
Oh,
49.
Why didn't you make your name 9 of 6 then?
Because it wouldn't be the 9th month of the 6th day. It's the 9th out of 12 months.
Oh.
It's funny.
Oh!
That is the exact reaction that everybody goes through. Like, it's funny how it's the exact same.
All right, let's go ahead.
I love it.
Before I humiliate myself.
No, you're not humiliating yourself at all. You're awesome. All right, so I'm going camping next weekend. I'm going all by myself. I have decided that I needed to decompress and go to a place where I have no cell signal, and I'm taking some paperback books and my two pups, and I'm going to go hang out near a lake south of Tucson. And I'm super stoked about it because I haven't disconnected like that in a long time. And there's been a lot of like people stuff and everything else. So I'm ready for that. I'm going to be recording with Dano on tomorrow night. We're starting a podcast. I'll tell you more about that later. News to come. But yeah, that's what I have on deck. And remember, everyone, we love you, our wonderful, fabulous patrons. You keep us functioning. You keep our website up. You keep all the things happening. So thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our patrons. Your feedback, always welcome. We love and appreciate it. And don't forget, you can become a patron today at patreon.com/grills.
Yep.
Amber.
Do that. We also appreciate your iTunes reviews. We did get some more people throwing stars at us anonymously, which feels terrific. Any of you out there so inclined, please do leave us a review on iTunes. It only takes a minute and it really helps us out and helps others to find us.
And where can people find you on the interwebs, Ember?
I can be reached at 9of12, it's NINEOF12 on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast.
And Abby, how can the fine folks find you?
I am on Twitter at AbbyGeek. I don't update it nearly as much as I should, but that's where you can go.
Awesome. And I am The Jen. You can find me at The Jen Says on Twitter and The Jen Plays. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG.
Well played.
Bye. Sorry, I had to find my mute button. Bye. No, you're not.
If you enjoyed the show and have the quill skill to shriek speech, leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.